Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world. What it used to be.
Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now.
Wonder what you tell me now.
Fire.
need a color. Everybody,
we need each other.
Wake up, everybody.
No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Wake up all your teachers. Start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the babies.
Teach the children.
Teach the children.
Teach the babies.
Teach the children.
Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Let's get everybody ready and prepared to do the things that we need to do. And we understand and know that as we speak about preparation provides the catalyst for none other than oneness. We understand and know that no matter what we do in life, it is our responsibility to prepare ourselves for whatever it is. When we think about even something as simple as marriage, in order to prepare yourself for marriage, you must study to show yourself approved on what it is that you must do as a spouse to be that wonderful wife or that wonderful husband that God is wanting you to be. And everything we do in life is preparation. Think about the children that God gifts us with. The minute that we conceive, and some of us even before we conceive, because we have that much faith, that we prepare ourselves on the things we have to do and the items that we need to read, especially as first-time parents, and things that we must do in order to have great success in the skills that God has already placed within us. It's now our ability to pull it out of us. And how many of us know that we cannot pull something out of us that we haven't put in? So I just pray that tonight, as we speak on this wonderful thing called preparation, that you will get a better and a greater understanding what it means as it relates to oneness. And I just thank God for your presence tonight. I thank God for bringing this word forward with simplicity and understanding. I thank God, as always, for using both Jesse and I as vessels that are willing to be able to share through transparency to each and every one of you. I thank God that he freed your schedule, that you're here, and you believe that for this set time in your life that there is a word in season for you to receive. Because how many of you know that you can be on this call each and every Monday night, but if you're not in a receptive mode to receive what God has for you, it does you no good, and that's considered a waste of your time. So I know that if you are here, you were strategically placed here, and we want to take a moment to say thank you for taking a few minutes out of your evening on a Monday night, on this marvelous Monday that we've had, to be with us and be a part, not only to hear, but we pray that God gives you the ability to understand and know that you have a word in season that he wants you to share as well in this area of preparation, which provides the catalyst for oneness. We desire for you to press one on your phone and send the host queue to be able to share through transparency to the listening audience, because trust me, if God has placed something in your heart and in your spirit to share, he's already placed someone on our Blog Talk Radio show tonight to receive. But are you willing to share through transparency to bless another brother or sister? As always, we never do anything without ushering the Holy Spirit. Again, my name is Tammy Storr. I will be joined by Minister Jesse Storr shortly, and he will share with us the topic and the message tonight and be able to dissect it and break it down a little bit. And I just thank God for your willingness to not only receive, but to be able to pray along with us and pray for us as we continue to share through transparency and share what God has given us. And I thank God that he will allow us to remove self out of way, and he will take over our mouthpiece and allow a word in season to come with simplicity and understanding for each and every one of you to receive. As always, we need to usher in the Holy Spirit. We understand the word where it says two or more that are gathered together. We call upon the mighty name that we know the Holy Spirit will be in the midst. There is nothing that we can do in life, ladies and gentlemen. I know that you understand the importance of the power of prayer and the power of agreement. So thank you for being here early enough to be in agreement with us on the opening prayer. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, as always, we give you the glory, honor, and praise. Holy Spirit, we welcome you tonight on the Blog Talk Radio Show. As a matter of fact, we want to just say thank you for allowing your presence to be here. I understand and I know, Father God, when I feel your presence and I feel your presence tonight, I want to say thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading, guiding, and directing me throughout this day, for directing each and every one of us. For those that had a more challenging day than others, I pray that you give them an opportunity to relax and just sit back and be able, Father God, to hear a word in season from you tonight. And then as they all lay their heads down on their pillows tonight, that you would give us all a good night's rest to be able to get up early in the morning with you on our heart, with a heart full of thanksgiving, giving you glory, honor, and praise as always. I thank you tonight, Lord God, that you will continue to order each and every one of our steps and give us the ability to lean and depend on you. Allow us an understanding, Lord God, of the things that we must do. And I know, Lord God, that even in your word, Father God, you always tell us that, you know, your word will not, Father God, return void. It will not lie. And I know, Father God, we beg you, Father God, to help us understand your word better and better by and by. And I thank you on tonight, Lord God, that you would give us an understanding of everything that we are to do and say through your word. I thank you, Father, as I even think about Romans, Father God, 8:1-2, when you tell us that we, Father God, it says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set us free from the law of sin and death. We all need to be set free. We especially need to be set free from Satan tonight, for we know he's there to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't desire for you to be here tonight to hear what the Lord has provided for you, to help your marriage, to allow your marriage to go to the next level, to allow forgiveness to enter into your heart, to allow you to open up more of communication, to allow you to understand that there's two that God has created to be one, and that we both all have a voice that wants to be heard. Let us continue to understand the importance of being able, Lord God, to edify and love on one another, to be able to speak life into each other, to understand our roles in our marriage, to be the best that we can be. So on tonight, Lord God, I say thank you once again for giving each and every one of us, Father God, the ability to be the best spouse on this side of heaven that we can possibly be. For those that desire to be married, that aren't married yet, some that are engaged, some that are seeking, Lord God, to find that perfect soulmate, I pray that as they come to study to show themselves approved even before that gift comes, because of their faith, Lord God, because of the belief they have in you, they want to come and know what they need to do, Lord God, to be able to be the best spouse on this side of heaven. I pray blessings on top of blessings for them. I thank you, Lord God, that they will exercise their right as a part of the fruit of the Spirit, that they will have self-control and they will have patience to wait upon you, to bring them the man of their life, the woman of their life, Father God, that will exemplify the love, joy, peace, and patience and gentleness and everything that is rolled up into the fruit of the Spirit. I declare and I decree in the mighty name of Jesus, by the blood-borne right that you've given me, Lord God, that they will come forward and be able to be happily ever after and be married, Father God, by that soulmate you have in store for them, and they will be married till death do them part and live happily ever after. I thank you tonight for the awesome man of God that you blessed me with, Lord God. I pray blessings on top of blessings for him, and I know, Lord God, that whatever you have in store for him is for him. Everything he says, does, and touches, I declare and I decree that you would allow it to be blessed by you. I thank you, Lord God, that you will forever give us the ability, Lord God, to recognize, know, and understand who we are in you. And we know, Lord God, that you will create us to be the best that we can be. And anytime we miss the mark, give us the ability to understand when we miss it, to be able to know what to do, Lord God, to ask for forgiveness and to be able to say, I receive it. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are forever being a blessing to all of us and giving us the ability to be the best us that we can be, the best me that I can be, the best Jesse that he can be, the best of every individual under the sound of my voice that they can be, so that, Lord God, they can be a blessing to others. I love you so much, Lord God. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. And thank you once again for allowing us this evening to minister to your people. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Well, amen, amen. Let everyone say amen. We praise God and we thank God tonight for his grace and his mercy, which endures forever. Thank God for my queen and beautiful opening prayer and segue to our presentation this evening. Preparation provides the catalyst for oneness. Well, I know it's also a unique time going on right now, as many of us like this time of the year when we get into what they affectionately call March Madness. When if you are a basketball fan, you see the high school season has ended with all of their state championships, and some are a little longer this year. And then you also now have the college scene where D1 and D2 and 3 are going through the process of their national championships. And one of the key elements involved in that is the concept of preparation, where you prepare for your team and you prepare for whatever opponent you may place, because this is the one time of the year when most of these basketball players get back to that which they experienced when they were playing what's called today club ball and used to be called AAU. And oftentimes you have some games where you may have a week to prepare. In other games, you may only have a day or two to prepare. And so I think it's apropos that tonight we have such a subject of preparation, because just like those teams have to prepare, and sometimes they have issues because they haven't properly prepared, it's the same thing that we have in our marriages and in our pursuit of oneness. So preparation is a very vital element. And then think about it, not only at this time of the year for your favorite teams, most of us may have favorite foods. We may have a favorite drink. There may be a favorite movie that you have. Like, you think about that right now. What's your favorite food or your favorite drink? And see, most of the time, if you think about it, if it's not a standalone favorite, such as a liquid, unless water is your favorite drink. And even with water, if you do nothing to it, you got to pour it in a glass. Or if you want to drink it out of your hands, you got to cup your hands under some water to get it. But there's almost nothing we do in life that does not require us to have a level of preparation. So one may ask the question then, well, what is preparation? It is really a process. You know, it's a process that will require an action to make something, you know, prepared, to be ready, to be made ready, for something to be used or for something to give consideration. Once again, it's easy for us to understand in the element of sports, in the element of the wedding that you have, regardless of how large it may have been or how small it may have been. As a matter of fact, oftentimes when you have had a wedding, you may even have a wedding coordinator, someone that goes into making sure everything is in line, everything has been considered, because when that day comes, you want all of it to go without a hitch. See, once again, a process. And remember, it requires a series of actions or steps to be taken in order to achieve that particular desired end result. And prior to marriage, the desired particular end result was simply to marry your spouse. And after marriage, the particular end result is to achieve oneness with your spouse. So everything that we do requires an element of preparation. If you get up in the morning prior to this pandemic, and some maybe even now, as the pandemic is better than what it was a year ago, perhaps, you have to prepare for that. There's a necessary amount of time that you have to leave home in order to make sure you get to your destination on time. See, when we look at maybe a deeper assessment of preparation, it may include consideration for some of these other elements that we must consider. Perhaps you have to devise something. You have to put something together. You got to get into some reflection and think about what it is you need to do. You might have to draw up some plans. You have to construct something. Something has to be composed. As you see, there are a lot of elements that can go into preparation. And oftentimes, we may not even give the proper level of consideration as we make preparation, as we get ready, as we arrange, assemble, as we educate, coach, or teach. All of those are elements in the process of preparation. Could you imagine if you were a sports fan just going out on the court and never having any element of preparation? Even when we used to go to the park and just play what they call sandlot football or basketball or whatever, we may call a timeout and we go and say, look, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that or whatever. That's an element of preparation. We're trying to get on the same page and give the same consideration for what we want to do once we get back and come against our opponents. I can remember as a child growing up, you're playing football and you may draw a play on the ground using your finger. And I remember down in the South, we didn't have grass. We just draw it in the dirt. I want you to go down about 5 yards. I want you to fake like you're going to go to the sideline. I'm going to pump the pass to you, and then you're going to turn it up. Well, we got older. They just called that a down, out, and up. You may stop and go, whatever. But there was an element of preparation. Everything that we do will have a direct impact, pathway to alignment and oneness. So it's nothing you don't do, nothing you without an element of preparation. If you want to have success, and in your marriage, there is no difference. You must do so if you want to have success. See, most of us, we have no real cognitive consciousness regarding the level of preparation we put into the process of vetting our spouse, and or the level of analysis accomplished by both spouses. We really don't. See, we have been given by God, the Creator, tools that intuitively allow us to go through a vetting and assessment process. As we go through the concept that we call dating, we are constantly, whether we realize it or not, we are constantly vetting our spouse to be. Even without saying it out loud, without saying, I'm vetting you, I'm analyzing you, I'm getting this assessment of who you are and what you do, we are doing it because it's built into us as people, as humans, where we are always attempting to assess and to determine how you think, feel, or believe this person that you desire to be your spouse might handle a particular situation. Sometimes we're right. Sometimes we're wrong. That's why sometimes when we get together, when we come together, we may be surprised sometimes. And we may say, wow, what happened? I didn't see that one coming. Well, we should be surprised because when we come together and get together, there will be some things that perhaps you didn't consider. Because in your own life, you haven't had an opportunity to be exposed to everything. You haven't had an opportunity to be exposed, perhaps, to some of the differences that may have taken place in their life versus in your life. There was a book written, I can't remember the name of the book, unfortunately, but it was a good book in the sense that there was a list of questions, over 365 questions that was in the book that was designed for you to have an easy way to go through this process of vetting, this process of making sure as you prepare to really come together with this person that you was understanding everything you could about them. And so you could ask each other questions that perhaps you may not ask if you yourself had not been involved in an area that would make you think about a particular question. See, we prefer the use of oneness when describing marriage, but every marriage does not achieve or sustain the oneness designation. There are many, many reasons why we may fail to achieve or to sustain oneness. And see, surprisingly, oneness can be derailed and or undermined for a number of reasons and by a variety of relationships. And what are some of the areas you may ask yourself that spouses to be, or even spouses after their marriage? You know, what are some of those things perhaps we should undertake, we should analyze, we should investigate, we should vet to ensure that we find and can embrace a pathway to hold on to the pursuit and the attainment of oneness. See, there's nothing wrong with ever having a disagreement. There's nothing wrong with seeing things differently because, as I indicated, none of us have been given every potential possibility of diversity that can exist in human beings. None of us are that deep. None of us have had a life filled with all of the potential possible experiences that could take place when two people come together. We may be good. We may be smart. We may be bright. We may have a Mensa IQ, but it does not guarantee us that we'll be able to make a full assessment of that person we will marry or that we have married. So then we ask ourselves, what are some of the things that perhaps we should be looking at as we prepare to be married, as we prepare to give consideration that is this the one? See, it can't be oftentimes what some say, you looked at a person, you saw the person, they were very attractive, and because of that attractiveness, you say, oh, that's the one. Now, that may have been the initial reason why you wanted to pursue your husband or you wanted to pursue your wife, but that alone is not going to be the thing that will allow you to sustain that relationship. So I want to give a few examples of what you may want to consider or what you have considered, even if you even don't realize it at the cognitive level. See, what is your view of the Creator? And what is the view of your spouse to be, if you aren't married? You know, did you take any time to speak about a value system, a foundational reality? What is the foundation of how you view the world? And what is the proof you can validate regarding where they stand on this particular subject? Or is it something where they simply say, well, that's personal, I don't want to talk about it? Well, see, when you get married, some things no longer can remain personal because it's too important for you to know what your spouse or your spouse-to-be, what do they think about this particular area? If this is an area you disagree on, do you believe your spouse or your desired spouse has the level of understanding to accept the differences you may have in your view of the Creator? It's not always mandatory that when you first come together that you see eye to eye on all of these things, because we have too many examples in our world today where two people have come together, where theoretically they came up believing the same thing. Some even came up going to the same place of worship, only to find out once they are married that they may look at various elements of that faith or of that belief differently. Again, once again, it doesn't mean the one is correct and one is wrong, because in that particular case, it may simply be a level of maturity, how one may view things that you may say of the spirit, or things that the Creator makes available to us. So even there, at a certain point in time, if you have a perspective difference, it doesn't mean necessarily it's a game changer. It only becomes a game changer if one person is so rigid in a perspective that they refuse to give consideration to anything else. Because we all got to remember, we are not the Creator. We are not the entity that can determine or that will determine if you're right or your spouse is right, if you're wrong or they're wrong. So one of the key elements is having enough understanding, enough compassion to know that, again, based on where you came from and based on your life experiences, you may not on a particular given day see everything in the same manner, but you trust in the Creator that as you move forward in your relationship at some point in time, these things will begin to align. And over the course of time, as people indicate, really, very often you will find yourself seeming to come together in that which you believe, and that's what you begin to see out of each other, by each other. Secondly, you may want to know and ask the question as you prepare it, as you're going through this, even after you're married, is what is the intellectual perspective of your spouse or your spouse-to-be? Do they like to read? Do they like to study? Do they like to research different subjects or subjects that they know nothing about? See, that's one of the true opportunities we have in life, is the ability to read. Do you know and understand that regardless of who you are, via the art of reading, you could go to any place in the world. You can imagine with your mind, because God has given you an imagination that is so powerful that nothing you can imagine can be constrained from you. That's what God said in the 6th chapter of Genesis. Go read it. He said, nothing man can imagine. So you can get a book, and you can read a book, and you can begin to imagine that you are wherever you are. That's what God gave us. Even though he said that man's imagination without balance could be on evil continuously. See, because sometimes, whether we realize it or not, we live in a world today that programs us, whether we realize it or not, that if we don't have a positive intent to do those things that provide the greatest level of comfort, support, and service to our spouse, you will be bombarded, overwhelmed with theoretical validation or opportunity to condemn each other. And see, that's what we must fight. And that's why it's vitally important that we have a good understanding. What is the intellectual perspective? What is the mental state of your spouse? Are there areas that may cause you concern once you begin to have dialogue and ask questions? And then you must be willing to allow God to come into play. You must be willing, based on your own spiritual assessment and the value of prayer. And even if you don't necessarily understand prayer and how it may work, that in a worst-case scenario, you're going to maintain a positive mental attitude about your spouse. Thirdly, you may want to know, what is their evaluation of the need to be physically fit, to be healthy? Do we know that the United States of America today, we are one of the, if not the most obese nations on the planet? We have become a nation of gluttony, We just eat so much, and we intake so much, impart of so much stuff that's not good for us more than any other nation on the planet. We consume more disproportionately of those processed foods and processed activities than any other nation. We pride ourselves in America of being all of that and more. Yet we fail to understand that all around us, we see this evidence that we are losing this particular war, the desire to be physically fit. Even, again, using the sports scene as an example, we look around us today and we see on college teams all over this nation an increasing number of athletes coming into this nation. And as these athletes come into this nation, they began to take away opportunities for children right here in America. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but part of that is because the preparation that's necessary, the preparation that's required for us to take advantage of some of these opportunities, we don't take advantage of it. You might say, what does that have to do with marriage? It's got everything to do with it. Because, see, that alone could impact you financially. That if you have children, regardless of what they want to do, there are colleges and universities across this country that will pay them to come to college, that will pay them to come not only athletically, but also academically. One of our neighbors just the other day was so excited because his daughter had been awarded a full-ride academic scholarship. And praise God, we've been in that situation as well, where our daughter was offered just recently, this past year, the same thing. And where our children before were also offered part of the cost for them to attend college. And so there's a real reason for you want to understand how your spouse may view physical fitness. It's not something that we should not, that we should. See, and you want to know, did either one of you ever compete recreationally or on a team? Because it will tell you in your preparation of what is this marriage going to be like, it will give you a clue that if you wanted to go out and play tennis, or if you wanted to go out and play racquetball, or you wanted to go out and play golf, or you wanted to go out and be a runner, if you wanted to go run some 10Ks or run some marathons or play some basketball or do whatever, and you were dealing with a person that's never been involved in those kinds of activities, you may have a challenge. I'm not saying you will, but you may. You may not if they're receptive themselves to begin to understand the need to be physically fit. But these are things that should be part of your preparation. And once, if you didn't do it before you got married, even after you get married, you need to begin to expand and enlarge your perspectives. What about your friends? How many friends do you have? How many friends did you have prior to getting married? And how long and how deep are those relationships? See, because we come to marriages oftentimes with a different perspective of what is socially appropriate. We may come into a marriage where one or the other had a bunch of friends. And see, unless you prepare yourself, unless you think about prior to that, what would be the impact in my marriage, in my relationship, if I have a bunch of friends of both sexes and my spouse does not? What am I willing to give up? Will it make my spouse uncomfortable? Because guess what? If it makes them uncomfortable, we may have to modify. We may have to say, let me make sure I bring them together. Let me make sure they know who all of my friends are that may be of the opposite sex, as well as those that may be the same, because you don't want to have any issues. That's part of that preparation to make sure your process and the lane that you take to get to oneness is not hindered by any kind of disagreement. See, again, these are things that take place, and we're putting them in a structure so you can, in your own mind, as you think back right now, you can begin to see, did I go through this type of process? And intuitively, a lot of us did. But sometimes we have not cognitively structured it in a manner for us to know and to understand that is what I did. See, you may be an introvert. Your spouse may be an extrovert. Introverts, you know, sometimes they like to keep to themselves, where an extrovert might be outgoing, may be expressive, may be all of those things that you are not. And again, that doesn't mean that you are not compatible at all. It simply means you just have a different personality type. You have a different level of social skills, perhaps. But you may find that one of you or the other, you have a type of job or professional vocation that requires you to come out of the box. And as long as you're doing your job, you have the ability to not be an extrovert. You have the ability to focus on a type of assignment or project that you're working on where you're not dealing with people. And on the other hand, you may be an introvert, but whatever you do requires you to be a leader, requires you to be out front. And because of that, you can do so. And then your spouse may have to know and understand that when you come home, though, you really don't want to be in that kind of role, that in reality, you're really not an extrovert, although some people may think that you are. How many of you have ever faced that kind of reality where someone thought you were this outgoing, jovial, loud individual, when in reality, you were not? We need to give consideration to that. And then there's one area that we sometimes don't think about. But what is your emotional intelligence? Meaning, how do you handle emotional things? How do your spouse? What makes your spouse upset? And how do they handle confrontation? Do you have an opportunity, or did you have an opportunity, to look at the history of their family? Do they have a situation in their family where there was a level of abuse? Where did that abuse occur? When did it occur? Was it mother and the father? Was it siblings? Where did it occur? Because you owe it to yourself to ask that kind of question. Hey, what's been your exposure around spousal abuse? You know, did your parents get into those kinds of situations? Why, again, because you want to know and understand what they have been exposed to. Doesn't mean that they're going to do the same thing, but you want to know it because some will do the same thing. Not all. Some will be impacted and influenced and affected by what went on in their childhood. These are real questions that even after we are married, that if we have not vetted, if we have not discussed it, if we haven't taken that time to do so, if you want to make sure you have that sustainable oneness, you've got to get to the point where you have that kind of conversation. Oftentimes, couples have been married a long time, and they'll come back and say, I didn't know that about so-and-so. Well, it's never too late to ask the question. If you can know about the grandparents or the great-grandparents, as much as you can know, you got to understand there's a thing that the Bible tells us that the sins of the father or the mother, they're going to try to come back and revisit to the second, third, and to the fourth generation. And sometimes there may be something that comes up and out of nowhere, you wonder, where does that come from? It's part of that spiritual, genetic, spiritual attachment and reality that works to the good and the bad. That's why sometimes someone may say something so prophetic or so profound in the spiritual that it may surprise them. And you say, wow, where that come from? Some have that gift of prophetic utterance naturally, and they have never studied the gift of prophecy. They never considered themselves being prophetic, but when they say things, it's like, as Tammy was praying, those words go out and they don't return void. And all of us have the capability. That's why in our marriage, We should be admonishing, and we must be careful of the words that we speak, because our words are powerful, more powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. What the words say is so true. So we must be mindful of that. You know, what is that emotional intelligence? How does your spouse handle confrontation? Because there will be times when confrontation will take place in your marriage. If you're a human being, it will happen. What is your view of money? And how much are you willing to share with your spouse? Will you have joint accounts? Will you not have joint accounts? Do you have a certain level of income you desire to earn or for the household to earn? Again, these are things that you must deal with, because if you don't deal with these subject matters, at some point in time, they will bite you. And even after you've dealt with them, depending on the circumstances of life, they will come up. You know, we'll go through the process and we have children or we don't have children. We work or we don't work. We both work or we don't both work. One work, one does. Whatever the situation may be, life will throw curves and life will throw obstacles and barriers right in front of us. But if we had taken the time to just do sometimes some what ifs, what if this happened? What if that happens? It takes work. It's not easy. But if we're willing to do so, when these things happen, when they take place, we're more apt to be understanding. We're more apt to allow it to consume what's necessary in the time required to deal with it. Because you're committed and you're sold out to the concept of oneness. Here's a beautiful thing, knowing that you're not perfect and knowing that your spouse understands you are a work in progress. Because aren't we all a work in progress? Do we ever really reach perfection? Although we know in that 12th chapter of Romans that we are trying to become that good and that acceptable and that perfect will of God as we are being transformed by the renewing of our minds. In marriage, you will renew your mind daily. It's a requirement that you renew your mind, because life will hit us with so many opportunities to lose our mind. But we're constantly understanding that we are transformers. And as we are transforming, we become transformers ourselves, even in our marriage relationship. Although we remain, we're the same person that we were when we met our spouse. There comes a element of life, the different situations of being a parent, being in the workforce, dealing with the issues of life. All of these things will have an impact on who we are. And dealing with money is one of the greatest challenges that we will have. That's why we have to ask each other the questions, how do you look at money? And if some of us come together later in life, we have been professional, we didn't get married, or perhaps we were single before we got together. Maybe there were children involved. Maybe there's a lot of things that make it more complicated than two people coming together, never having any of those kind of challenges. That we know the longer we wait before we are married, the longer and the more situations that take place. If there are children involved, the more children, the more relationships, all of those things make marriage that more complicated, and why you have to have preparation and you have to consistently review to make sure you're preparing. But there are some things that we don't all like to deal with. See, when we think about the relationship with the parents and the siblings, a lot of times we don't think that has an impact. And that's why a lot of times we are wrong when we don't think it's important. That we just say, no, I'm going to show everybody I'm the most important thing this person ever experienced. I'm the best thing that ever happened to them. And we can have that kind of attitude, and that attitude can cause unnecessary stress to come on our relationships. So as you get ready to leave here this evening, we just want to share a few things that we believe you should make great preparation for, because it's going to change you. It will change your marriage, and it will change your opportunity to have success in your oneness. Let me mention earlier, children. The word said that it's a blessing to have children, and that we're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. It's a blessing. And in our world today, you got to know and understand that's a great opportunity for conflict, because we may see rearing children differently. You need to prepare for how you view that. There are opportunities that's going to come in life, all kinds of opportunities, spiritual, mental, emotional. It's going to be all kind of opportunities that have come up, opportunities to do good and opportunities to do bad. How are you going to deal with them as an individual, and how are you going to deal with them as a couple? Because, see, they're coming. There are going to be opportunities that sometimes it looks like, wow, that's a really great opportunity. But it could be a plan of the enemy to make it appear that it's something that you should embrace, something that you should want to go after. But it'll only lead to condemnation. It'll only lead to some kind of abomination. And so you must be aware how you want to deal with opportunities financially, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. How you want to deal with that? Your relatives and your in-laws. You just can't say forget them. You can't say, you can't take it upon yourself to think, feel, or believe your spouse should just forget about them, that now you come together, you married, that it's just you. That's selfish. No, you got to give consideration. You have to prepare. You have to know and understand that you're not always going to get your way. Sometimes you got to be willing to give of yourself in order for your spouse to have a level of completion in the relationships they have with their mother, their father, their other relatives. And so it's vitally important. We've seen marriages crumble, fall apart, separate because the in-law issue was not dealt with. Then come to agreement on how you wanted to do those things. And what about your friends and other friends and so-called friends? Some of those that maybe are not married, never been married. How are they going to give you advice on your marriage? That's one thing that we should really give consideration. If you really wanted to have some input on your car was acting up, would you go to somebody that's never fixed a car? You know what I mean? Would you get on an airplane with somebody that's never flown a plane? So would you go and really have a conversation with somebody looking for information about your marriage or your oneness and they've never been married? Or if they've been married and never were successful? What would you really do? Would you go and talk to them? I hope you would not. You're going to have disagreements. How you want to deal with the disagreements? You're going to stay mad all the time. The word says that, you know, be angry but sin not. The word says don't go down and don't go to bed with a whole bunch of malice on your heart. That you wake up wrathful. You wake up angry, upset. Can't do that. You got to know and understand you will have disagreements. We all will have them. How are you going to deal with sickness? You know, we may all have to deal with some sickness. What are you going to do? Are you going to be supportive? Are you going to be there? You know, your spouse wants to know, hope, and believe that you will be there. And that's always the hope. Every spouse wants to know, wants to believe that I know that my husband, I know that my wife will be there. And since they know that they will be there, they know that they can count on you. That's just the way it is. What about death? None of us want to deal with death. None of us want to deal with death. But we know that death is coming. We know it's inevitable. And I can tell you, it's one of those areas that personally I hate to think about more than any other area. But I know it's coming. We just hope and pray that we all are prepared to do those things necessary when it takes place. And then there's always transition after death of a spouse. Hopefully you prepared, you discussed it. It didn't happen suddenly. And you know that the other person is going to live a life, is going to have a life. Hopefully you have discussed it and been in preparation, that you have blessed whatever it may be that they may decide to do. And we just praise God and thank God that we live at a time where we can give this consideration, that we must be prepared for all of these elements. And some elements will be prepared for more than others. But at the end of the day, God has given us the responsibility to be all that we can be. So I pray tonight that you will take time to make sure you prepare for the challenges that you will have in your marriage. For you surely will. All of us. I know of no marriage that every day has been sunshine. There are going to be some rainy days. There are going to be some storms, some tornadoes, some tsunamis, some hurricanes, some thunderstorms, and all of that. But in the end, it's God's way of perfecting us. It's God's way, I believe, of saying to us, you know, this is what you must master. This is what you must learn to understand and conquer. And so, Father, as we close tonight, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we ask, Father, that something was said that will prick the hearts of the listeners here live right now, of those that may listen in the archive. And, Father, we thank you in advance that it will. Give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to remind you to dial back in at 9 o'clock. Minister Leah Killings of Empowerment Ministries will be on at 9 o'clock. Come and check her out. Until then, God bless you. God keep you. Be prepared. It provides a catalyst for oneness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Agape love.